Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, your host for the show. Do you know much about investing? Well, I surely didn't back in 2009 when I was suddenly left a widow. So I started looking for information, and I started attending workshops and seminars. I went to free ones, I went to paid ones, and I started to look for organisations to join. One of those was the Australian Investors Association. You'll get to a point when leaving your money in the bank, earning a basic interest rate, just won't cut it and get you very far. And you have to dip your toes in the water somewhere with investing. And today on our show, we have Russell Lees. And Russell is a director of the Australian Investors Association, as well as a financial advisor and planner. So welcome, Russell.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, before we start off, could you just give us a brief background about your experience and how you ended up becoming a director of the Australian Investors Association?
It all started about 10 years ago when I joined a company called Donnelly Money Management, which is based in Melbourne in Victoria. Donnelly Money Management was set up by a guy called Austin Donnelly. And the link to the AIA is that Austin was the founding member of the AIA. So the firm I joined 10 years ago had a very strong link to the AIA. And not long after I joined, Austin Donnelly passed away and the company went through various ownership changes. And during that time, I was nominated to the Victorian Committee of the AIA, and then a couple of years later moved up to be a director on the National Board of the AIA.
And how long then has AIA, Australian Investors Association, been in around?
Oh, very good question, because we are actually celebrating this year, because this year, 2017, is our 25th year that we've been around, so a very special year for the organisation.
So how does the organisation work? I believe you have a local presence, a state presence, and then a national presence.
Correct, that's right. So we effectively run via state-based committees. State-based committees are responsible for running events in each state. Normally the committees in each state are made up of around about 5 or 6 volunteers, and they run what we call local information nights in the CBD in each state. So Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide would all run info nights. They run in the CBD, and we normally have a presenter from the finance industry come along and give a presentation. And then we take that to a step out to the suburbs, because in each state we run local discussion groups which are members only, and effectively what we normally end up with is 20 members in each suburb around a table. It's an open discussion on any topic that members want to bring up, and that's run at a state level. And then at a national level, our biggest event we run is a national conference run annually out on the Gold Coast.
That's in Queensland, Australia, on the Gold Coast.
That's right, Queensland, and that's in August each year, and normally we have just over 300 members attending that conference each year.
Can you explain the role of AIA, please?
Yeah, sure. So the role of AIA effectively is, and our motto I think sums it up, investors helping investors. So we're a not-for-profit organisation. We run on a volunteer basis. We do have 2 full-time staff in the office for administration purposes. We have about 2,500 members nationally, And it really aims to improve the education of self-directed investors. So effectively to make investors better investors. Our founding member, Austin Donnelly, he was a firm believer that the finance industry always worked with a natural bias to look after themselves first and look after investors second. And his strong principle was to ensure that investors were educated to the highest possible level so they could make better informed decisions, particularly when they wanted to be self-directed and manage their own affairs.
That's a great motto. What would you say is the level of involvement by members in managing their own financial affairs?
Well, typically for an AIA member, we find that the level of involvement in managing financial affairs is extremely high. Now, there's various reasons why that is. Sometimes they've been with an advisor and they've been burnt and they have a natural bias to look after themselves, or they've just got a very keen self-interest in managing their own affairs. They could have received money through traditional ways of inheritance, hard long-term savings, or running a small business. But generally, our members have a very strong interest in looking after their own financial affairs.
Of your members, are you able to reveal what they lean towards, any particular type of investment?
Naturally, there's a strong bias to equities, direct equities. So whenever we run events, we always find that any presentations that are on stocks, shares, and direct investing always ensures that we have a full house. We do run presentations on fixed income, estate planning, and all the other aspects of managing your own financial affairs, but always we find anything to do with stock tips, equities, or direct share investing is always the most popular.
And are the presenters keen to come to talk to you?
Absolutely. When you look at the finance industry, 85% of our members run their own self-managed super fund. These days, a lot of the finance industry want to get access to people who run their self-managed super funds. So naturally, we find that we have very good levels of sponsorship from key financial players, and we have no problem finding quality speakers to present to our members just to get their brand and their products in front of members like AIA members.
As more and more of us are taking advantage of government tax structures to save for our own retirement, in Australia, that vehicle is called self-managed superannuation funds. As more people move to create their own wealth, how are we managing this self-directed push? Are we coping with the responsibility of managing these portfolios ourselves?
I think it's very mixed. So what I notice is a very mixed result. So you get some people who are very confident, set up these vehicles and they're off investing, managing, making sure asset allocation is correct. Then you get some people who are very keen to set up the entity, the self-managed super fund, roll over their funds into the bank account, and then we find that a lot of people freeze and they don't know where to go move forward from there. So when we look at some of the asset allocation statistics that come out, we notice that self-managed super funds normally have very high levels of cash or cash deposits as far as total asset allocation within their portfolios. And I think that displays that there is a portion of people who go down this route not really 100% sure on how to proceed. They set up the fund, they roll out their money, and then they're sort of looking, how do I proceed from here? And we typically find that a lot of new members come to us at that very stage.
Right. Okay. With the self-management, what are they after, do you think? Are they after income? Are they after growth? What are they chasing?
I think it's probably a bit of both. Typically, when you look at our typical member who fits normally 55 plus, there's a strong bias to say, okay, I'm in drawdown, I'm retired, I'm in drawdown stage, so I need to ensure that my fund generates a good, strong, reliable cash flow. But given the strong focus on equities and stock tips, I think there's also a very solid proportion of our members that are looking to grow their portfolio as well and looking for good quality stock tips.
So can you explain the benefits of being a member of AIA?
I think the classic, if you go back to our motto, investors helping investors, obviously the main benefit is being able to get in front of financial professionals, something that's not easy for retail investors to do. If you look at our major event, the National Conference on the Gold Coast in Queensland each year, we have 300 members that over 3 days get in front of 42 of the top financial investment experts in Australia. You get up close to them. We have happy hours every night where you can talk and mingle and ask questions. It's very difficult for retail investors who normally operate from home to get access and that close to financial experts. So I think that's the major benefit. But also I think probably the most underestimated benefit is the networking with other investors. So if you in a room, you're at one of our presentations where there's 60 members, you're normally sitting alongside someone who's got the same problems as you. And to be able to network and just share questions and ideas with fellow investors in exactly the same situation as yourself, I think is one of the fundamental benefits of joining an organisation like the AIA.
Do you have a broad range of presenters? I mean, do you find that people are still in traditional forms of investing, like real estate? Is that something people still own when they're older?
But we find that typically, and this is quite surprising given the strong focus of investing in property in Australia at the moment, is that our members typically have an underweighting to property as an investment. We find that normally in a self-managed super fund, when you're retired, it's fairly much traditional asset classes in the portfolio. So there's cash, there's deposits, there's maybe listed property trust investments, there's domestic equities, normally direct shares, and manage funds for your offshore exposure. So, yes, we do have members that have residential property or property exposure in their portfolio, but we're relatively underweight.
So do you have any educational aids or programs that you have available for members to buy or use?
Quite a lot. So as a member, you get access to – it opens up the access to our website, and our website is full of volumes and volumes of educational material on investing in shares, superannuation, going offshore to invest, estate planning. There's anyone who comes and presents to the AIA, we'll put up their presentation on the website. So there's a database of presentations. We send out a regular quarterly newsletter to our members, which each newsletter contains about 10 different articles from some of the leading investment experts in Australia. And of course, you get access to the national conference. And I think we run something like 220 events nationally each year.
Wow, that's certainly looking after the members, it sounds like.
Interesting enough, we ran one last week in Sydney. It was our first investment summit. It's effectively, we allow to run an event on a particular theme. Last week's summit was on, it was titled From the Mining Boom to the Dining Boom. So it had a very strong agricultural focus. And we had 120 members attend that. It was a 1 day. The morning we had industry experts come and talk about the industry. And then in the afternoon we had financial investment experts come along and tell us exactly how to position your portfolio so you get exposure to the ag sector.
Right. Well, that's very interesting.
I know in Australia there is a strong focus on supplying China and the rest of the world with agricultural products. I know Australia has a clean image as far as production goes.
That's right. So it looked into that image where we're clean, green, organic food. One of the presenters in the morning ran an organic fruit business. But it's interesting that we had someone from the CBA Commonwealth Bank in the morning talking about the ag sector. And he said the opportunity in the ag space is not so much about price growth, which effectively drives the hard commodity sector, resource sector in Australia, but it was more about volume. And coming back to your comment there about China, it's all about demand in China growing at such a rate that is effectively how do we produce the volume of ag goods that's going to be required, and that's the opportunity for Australia.
Right. Well, that sounds like terrific information that members have access to.
We had very good feedback on that summit, and we're heads down currently planning our national conference for August. The theme for the conference this year is called transition. So it, effectively, it relates to some of the unexpected events from last year, Brexit and Trump. And it focuses on transitioning global economies, transitioning Australian economy, and what investors need to do to sort of effectively position portfolios for the current investment climate.
Right. When someone becomes an investor, do they get stuck about trying to work out what type of investor they are? Do they just learn from their experience?
I think it is. I think so. Those are some of the things that take time to work out. We normally find there's an element of our members who obviously are very trading focused, short-term trading, and are much more aggressive in their asset allocation and stock selection. And for those type of members, we run events on using stop losses or using downside protection tools as well. Although the majority of our members are traditional fundamentalist type investors, maybe hold and buy on the long, medium to long term. But we, all our members come in different shapes and sizes.
What's the health, in your opinion, of the Australian share market and for Australian, the outlook for Australian businesses generally?
So we survey our members. We have a rerun six-monthly investment member investor sentiment survey. And what we're finding at the moment in the more recent time is that sentiment is picking up towards the Australian economy and investing in shares. So we find particularly that's backed up by the last reporting season, which was reasonably good compared to some of the last couple of years. And we're starting to see a pickup in interest investing in shares.
Is the office available for people to ring in if they have any queries, or do they get answers to their queries through their local branches?
No, so there's two staff in the national office on the Gold Coast. There's a free call number, which is available through our website, and those staff work during the weekdays to answer any calls from members or prospective members on joining the AIA as well.
Okay.
So most of the calls from members go straight through to the national office. The state committees pretty much are just focused on running events locally within each state.
Any of my listeners wanted to contact the organisation, where would they first go to get information?
Best way to go to Google, type in Australian Investors Association, click on the link and across. You'll notice that there's details on, you can join online. As well, there's a listing of all the local events. You can filter that listing through states, depending on which state that you live in, and it will list all the events that we run in each state as well.
Well, thank you. It's been interesting chatting to you today. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me and pass on to my listeners about investing in Australia?
I think the best thing to remember is that don't be shy to go forward and improve yourself. There's always a reward for further education and making yourself a better investor. And however you do that, I always take the extra mile. Improve yourself as a better investor through better and higher education, and we're here to help in any way that we can in that regard.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us today on Retire Well, Retire Happy.
Thanks, my pleasure. All the best and good luck with investing.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.